In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. O Lord, open thou my lips. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Come, let us worship the Lord. I will sing of steadfast love and justice.
To you, O Lord, I will
make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Know that the Lord, He is God. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise.
Give thanks to him, bless his name.
For the Lord is good, his steadfast love endures forever.
And his faithfulness to all generations.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit,
as it was in the beginning, is now.
I will sing of steadfast love and justice.
To you, O Lord, I will make music.
The first reading for the seventh Sunday of Easter comes from Acts chapter 1. Then the apostles returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey away. And when they had entered, they went up to the upper room where they were staying, Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot and Judas the son of James. All these with one accord were devoting themselves to prayer, together with the women and Mary the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. In those days Peter stood up among the brothers, the company of persons was in all about 120, and said, "Brothers, The scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke beforehand by the mouth of David concerning Judas, who became a guide to those who arrested Jesus. For he was numbered among us and was allotted his share in this ministry. Now this man bought a field with the reward of his wickedness, and falling headlong, he burst open in the middle, and all his bowels gushed out. And it became known to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so that the field was called in their own language Alkemdama, that is, field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, "May his camp become desolate, and let there be no one to dwell in it, and let another take his office." So one of the men who have accompanied us during all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John until the day when he was taken up from us, one of these men must become with us a witness to the resurrection. And they put forward two, Joseph, called Barsabbas, who was also called Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, "You, Lord, who know the hearts of all, show which one of these two you have chosen to take the place in this ministry and apostleship, from which Judas turned aside to go to his own place." And they cast lots for them. And the lot fell on Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us. The epistle is taken from 1 Peter chapter 4. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you, but rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or an evildoer or a meddler. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in that name. For it is time for judgment to begin at the household of God, and if it begins with us, what will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if the righteous is scarcely saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? Therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful Creator while doing good. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 17th chapter. When Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all flesh, to give him eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed. I have manifested your name to the people whom you gave me out of the world. Yours they were, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything that you have given me is from you. For I have given them the words that you gave me, and they have received them and have come to know in truth that I come from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I am praying for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. And I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world. And I am coming to you, Holy Father. Keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us. The children may come forward for the children's choir. Continue with the hymn of the day. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today, instead of focusing on our gospel reading, as I often do, we'll be looking instead at our first reading from the book of Acts and also our epistle text. Now, you may have noticed, or maybe not, that over the past 7 weeks, our typical Old Testament reading has been replaced by a series of readings from the book of Acts. Throughout most of the church year, the opening reading is taken from the Old Testament so that we might hear the testimony of God's saints and God's people as they awaited the Messiah. But for this brief period of time after Easter, we switch to the book of Acts, the book which records the goings-on in the earliest life of the church in those earliest days after the resurrection and the ascension. In this, we see continuity between the life of the saints who awaited Christ and the life of the saints now transformed by Christ's death, burial, resurrection, and ascension. And today, in the book of Acts, we see the call of the first pastor after Christ's ascension. We see the examination, call, and ordination of Saint Matthias. We are introduced to St. Matthias, who will take the place of Judas in the apostolic band on account of Judas's betrayal. And we will take up the call to remember Matthias so that we maybe strengthen our faith when we see how he experienced the grace of God and how he was helped by faith, and how we, according to our calling, should take the saints' good works as an example for us. But of course, in one sense, this is a difficult task for us to do, because we know next to nothing about the blessed Saint Matthias. What we know for sure is what we have in today's reading, in the book of Acts, that he was called into apostleship as a witness to the resurrection of Jesus in the place of the traitor Judas. We don't have his acts recorded for us like we do with Peter, Paul, or John. No miracles, no sermons, no letters. We are not given a picture of him filled with the Holy Spirit, preaching to the crowds in Jerusalem. This Jesus whom you crucified, God has made him both Lord and Christ. We don't see the thousands convicted by the Holy Spirit, coming to be baptized by his hand. We know nothing of his rejoicing and the suffering of his flesh for the sake of Christ's body, the church. We know of no great revelation that took place on the island Exile for the preaching of Christ. So how do we remember Saint Matthias for the benefit of our faith and as an example of good works? We remember what we are told by God the Holy Spirit in the apostolic scriptures that are written for our edification. He was examined, he was called, and he was ordained. In one sense, the little that we know about Matthias makes it hard to look to his example. But in another, it makes him perfectly suited to be the patron saint of most ordinary pastors and most ordinary Christians throughout the world and throughout time who serve the church militant in the hope of glory, but with no earthly fame or reward. We cannot all be Peter or Paul or John, but most of us will be like Matthias. If we be pastors like Matthias, we are examined, called, and ordained into Christ's ministry, into service of Christ's church, and we will not be remembered by any but those saints in heaven. Those who were brought aboard the ark of the church by the washing of holy baptism by our hands, sustained on the journey by our preaching, or fed with Christ's body and blood by our administration. Those saints solemnly planted in the ground awaiting resurrection. And the same goes for most of you. You who live in your daily vocations as fathers and mothers, children, elders, Board of Ed members, trustees, ladies' aid members, so on and so forth, whatever your role is here at Zion, like Matthias, you will not be remembered in textbooks or in a History Channel special about your life, or a Netflix docudrama, but you will be eternally remembered by your son or daughter who is raised with a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus. You will be remembered by the child in your Sunday school class who you taught the Word of God, or the student who comes to VBS to hear about God's faithfulness, or your friend brought to the Lord's house at your invitation. Sure, among you sitting here today, there might be an Athanasius or an Augustine or a Luther who were instruments through whom God worked so mightily that for his kingdom, that their legacy will live on in the minds of men as long as there is faith on earth. Or perhaps among us there is a Alexander the Great or a Julius Caesar whose very life turns into legend. Your speeches collected into volumes, your writings debated by academics, your works plumbed by students for centuries to come, your statues surrounded by protesters and counter-protesters. Only God knows if he has set you aside from before your conception for such a great calling. But most of you, if not all, like I suspect will be the case for me, will be a Matthias, called for faithful service in Christ's church and simple daily love for neighbor. No glory as far as the earth is concerned. No honor to last the ages, likely indeed to be hated and reviled by your neighbors as a bigot. Indeed, brothers and sisters, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. The world rejected Christ. We should expect that it would reject his Christians. But faith endures the fiery trial in the confidence that Christ is indeed Lord. Yes, if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in that name, knowing that he has counted you worthy of suffering like Christ has suffered. And if we share in his sufferings, we know that we are also destined to share in his glory. We entrust our souls to a faithful Creator while doing good, whether the world approves of what the Scriptures call good or not. We humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God so that at the proper time he may exalt us. And now when we encounter hardship or difficulty or suffering or do good works that seem not to be noticed, we do them with the sure confidence that we can cast all our anxieties on him because we know he cares for us. It is in this faith that we have the boldness and the confidence to live our lives like a Matthias. The glory, the reward we seek is not the reward and glory of the earth. That fades away. But the eternal glory and the eternal reward given to those in Christ Jesus. Like Matthias, your memory will fade from the minds of men. Perhaps a reference in the Shum family history, a mention in the Photostar's archives, or a record in the church register will remain, but likely that'll be it. But you will be remembered by those saints in heaven whom you helped in your life, and by your heavenly Father who sees in secret and will not neglect your reward. And so let us look to Saint Matthias, whose greatness was not in his eloquence, left for posterity, or in the pagan immortality of heroic memory, but in the greatness of the ministry to which he was called. An ordinary, everyday sort of ministry, not flashy, not showy, but through which God works powerfully. In many ways, Saint Matthias is the antidote to the expectation that God must work through miracles and signs and wonders. And so let us take a look at the ordinary sort of ministry which Saint Matthias was called to and through which God works. How was Saint Matthias called? There was no voice from heaven, no miracle, no thunder or lightning, Matthias was not called by directly by Christ himself or the other apostles. Instead, he is called by God the Holy Spirit through the mediate call of the church. In good order, he was examined as a qualified man. He met the criteria set by the Apostolic Call Committee. He had been a witness to Christ since Christ's baptism. He is called by rolling of dice and ordained by God through the church. And this selection by lot confesses something amazing. It displays a godly faith in Christ's work through his ordinary ministry, a confidence that a man who has been called, examined, and ordained might be called anywhere by God, and that God would work mightily through him according to his promises. And to what ministry was Matthias called? To the office of the holy ministry, which Paul says about, "This is a trustworthy saying. If anyone aspires to the office of overseer, he desires a noble task. Noble, not because it is spectacular. It usually is quite ordinary. Noble because of what we read in today's text. What Matthias gained was his share in this ministry." What is that ministry? It is Christ's ministry. Christ's ministry to the church, his reign in the kingdom of grace, where through an ordinary man, a sinner just like you, in your local congregation, Christ breaks and hinders every evil plan and purpose of the devil, the world, and our sinful nature. Where Christ delivers saints from this present evil age, from the kingdom of darkness, into his marvelous light, calls people unto himself, gives life and salvation. It is Christ's ministry, his baptism administered by human hands, his absolution placed on the lips of your pastor, his imperial decree of law and gospel proclaimed from the pulpit, his word, his supper, his table, his body, and his blood. In these things, although they might not be showy, God works mightily for your life and your salvation. And so too, as you have heard over the past couple of weeks, you have a call, not glorious in the world's eyes, but through which God works mightily. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people of his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. May you be faithful in the context of your corner of God's kingdom. For your Father, who sees in secret, will reward you greatly. And let us give thanks to God for his ministry of grace in the ordinary ministry of word and sacrament, and for the love he shows us through our neighbors. Amen. The ushers may come forward to receive the offering. Please rise as we finish If God Himself Before Me as our canticle hymn. Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Lord God, ruler of all, protect and defend your Church from every attack of the devil, who prowls and seeks to devour. Where he tempts, strengthen your people to resist his seductions and terrors. Where he gains a foothold with false teaching or ungodly living, call to repentance and holiness. And where he incites enemies against your word and church, preserve your saints in the faith, that they may rejoice to share in the sufferings of Christ. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, bless the work of our missionaries, especially the Reverend David and his wife Barbara. Bring forth your harvest from the seeds they sow. Support those who endure fiery trials for your name. As they shine the light of the gospel into hostile darkness, guard them with the sign of your cross. Let them rejoice that in tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword, they share in your very sufferings. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, you hold the might of man in your hand and can destroy all things by your mighty power. Bless our nation and all peoples of the world. Where war and violence threaten, bring peace and justice. Where oppression reigns, bring liberty. Watch over those who defend us, especially the men and women of our armed forces, such as Sean, Austin, Thomas, and Leah. And also those who protect within our communities. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, you have saved us by your grace. We pray for the sick, the distressed, those whose hearts are heavy, those whose lives are burdened, those who mourn and all who are in need, especially Amy, Harold, Mary, Jordan, Prabhu, Aubrey, Barbara, Charlotte, Maya, Wanda, Kenny, and Patricia. Grant them healing according to your will, strength and mercy according to their needs, and the peace that passes understanding. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, as the first Christians devoted themselves to prayer and worship following Christ's glorious ascension, preserve us in the same until we are raised with all saints to your heavenly kingdom. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord be with you. O Lord, our heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, who has safely brought us to the beginning of this day, defend us in the same with thy mighty power, and grant this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings, being ordered by thy governance, may be righteous in thy sight. Through Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Bless we the Lord. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Okay, once again, a reminder to make sure that you register your own kids for VBS, which is coming up June 19th through the 23rd. We'll be learning about Daniel and how God was faithful to him in his time in exile in Babylon. And we will learn much more about Daniel than simply the lion's den. There is more to his story than that. So please register your kids for that by June 4th. The registration papers are on the usher stand. And not just your own kids, but invite anyone who is of VBS age that you think might be interested in coming so that they might learn something about God and his love and faithfulness to us. Also on the theme of VBS, the donation sheet for the various supplies needed for VBS is in the parish hall, so please go sign up for that as well. Ladies' Aid would like to remind you once again about the LWML National Convention, so please take a look at that. It's not too late to register, and also there are several people who are signed up to go. And I believe that is it. Any urgent announcements that I have missed? Okay. Depart in peace.